1-2. Driven to left field. Going back, Dyson. Still back. Turning. Looking. It's off the wall. Here comes Wade. He scores. And the Yankees win 6-5.
All right, we get it. They won. Jeez. Willikers. Yankees win last night. Royals pitchers issued 11 walks. I'm going to just tell you something right now. If you don't know a lot about baseball, walking 11 guys and giving them free passes, 11 free passes in one Major League Baseball game, or any level of baseball, usually means you're going to lose and usually lose big. But somehow the Royals were right there and had a chance last night. Pretty crazy stuff. It was a roller coaster game. The Royals were up 2-0 after Ryan O'Hearn hit a second home run in as many days at Yankee Stadium. And then it was 2-2, and Scott Barlow worked out of a jam in the seventh. So then Carlos Santana hits a home run, gives the Royals a lead 3-2. You're feeling pretty good about things. Then the Yankees come back, and then they go up 4-3. Then the Royals come back. They go up 5-4 against the closer, Aroldis Chapman. And you got the swinging bunt by Ryan O'Hearn that allowed the Royals to give them the lead. So you've worked so hard. You fought back multiple times. You came back on the closer for the Yankees, Aroldis Chapman. And Greg Holland comes in the ninth inning and gives up a homer to tie it. And then eventually the Royals lose. And you heard the game winner just a moment ago. So Holland gets the blown save. Here's Mike Matheny on Holland's problems in the ninth.
That's the guy we wanted out there. And got into some good counts. And then unfortunately they took advantage of some two-strike counts to make something happen. But he's been really good in that situation. And, just proud of our guys getting to the point where we were at that point. Opportunity to take that one home. But unfortunately, didn't work out.
Did not. Royals now 33-39. Yankees 39-34. Danny Duffy off the IL. And to make room for Duffy on the roster, the Royals optioned their one of their best pitching projects or prospects. Could be a project, too. Jackson Kowar back to the minors in Omaha. Duffy threw 42 pitches, struck out 4, walked 3. Two innings, no hits, no runs. Then it was Kyle Zimmer, then Carlos Hernandez. Then it was Josh Staumont, Scott Barlow, Jacob Brents, Greg Holland. Royals used 7 pitchers. And they walked 11 batters, struck out 10. And by the way, Aaron Judge last night was 0-for-5 and struck out 4 times.
Because we need more of that, right?
Well, we need that, don't we? The Royals struck out 10 times. The Yankees struck out 10 times. But the Royals issued 11 walks. The Royals lose 6-5. And the question now is, who do you have left to pitch today?
Yeah.
Because they play at 12:05 this afternoon for the final game of that 3-game set. And I'm going to bet the Yankees win. It'll be Brad Keller on the hill for the boys in blue. I hope I'm wrong on that prediction. Keller is 6-7, but he's lost his last 3 decisions, and still his ERA is well over 6.34. So Royals back in action against the Yankees, and that will take place at 12:05 today. Any local sports nuggets or information or notes or anything you want to share?
The Shrine Bowl is coming up on Saturday. You can find all the information for that at ncksports.com. Spencer Davidson of Minneapolis will be playing in that game. There's about 4 Mid-Continent League kids that are playing in the game as well, but no real immediate area players, but all the information's at ncksports.com for the 48th Shrine Bowl coming up Saturday in Hutch.
Fantastic. And Spencer Davidson, he's a stud in every sport, yeah, man. We talked about baseball the other day and football and outstanding tight end. Wild World Series up in Omaha. College World Series, just 1 game, but it was worth it.
For Brendan Beck and Stanford.
Brendan Beck is the ace for the Stanford Cardinal. It was an elimination game last night, and he was dominant. He struck out the first 5 batters he faced, and in the ninth inning, they were 2 outs and no one on. And next thing you know, there was a walk, then a pinch hitter singled, and then a game-tying single, and then the game-winning run on that wild pitch you just heard. So Vanderbilt will now move on to face NC State for a spot in the championship series, but the Commodores must defeat the Wolfpack twice to make the finals. Twice. So NC State's got 1 in their back pocket and a chance for Vanderbilt to, I'm going to pull up the schedule here, for Vanderbilt to make it to the championship series, but they do have to win not one, but two games at NC State to get in that championship series. And there is an elimination game. This computer, sometimes, there we go. Sometimes it goes quick, sometimes it does not. And it's not allowing me to pull up what I want here. Anyway, it looks like one game tonight, 6 o'clock. It is Virginia and Texas. That's an elimination game. So there are a few teams still left. NC State and Vanderbilt, Texas, Virginia. Who else is left? Mississippi State.
Mississippi State's the other team on that second bracket, yeah.
So
whoever wins the Texas-Virginia would play
Mississippi State
would have
and have to beat them twice, yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. So that's the College World Series there in Omaha. Game one of the Eastern Conference Finals last night, it was the Hawks and the Bucks.
And beat Drew Holiday one-on-one. Here's Young, Kalachigas, spins out, rebound, Capella, and scores! Clint Capella with the bucket and the Bucks call for time as Atlanta now leads by one.
Clint Capella, 12 points, 19 rebounds. John Collins, 23 points, 15 rebounds. Kevin Herter, 13 points. And then, oh, yeah, there's Trae Young. Trae Young, 48 points and 11 assists and 7 rebounds. And he made the Bucks look silly, and the Bucks are supposed to be a decent defensive team, although I've seen times where the Bucks are horrible defensively, and I've seen times where they're really, really good. The Hawks end up winning the ball game last night, 116-113, and for the third straight series, the Hawks are a road team, go on the road, and steal game one. Mm-hmm. That bodes well usually for you, unless you're playing the Clippers.
Pretty well for them so far.
Unless you play the Clippers, and, yeah. And you're in trouble. So the Hawks win 116-113. Giannis was very good last night. He had 34. Drew Holiday was fantastic. He had 33, but Chris Middleton's kind of a roller coaster of a playoffs for him. Yeah. One game he's awesome and he can't miss, and the next game he can't make anything. Last night, 0 for 9 from 3, 6 of 23 from the floor, and he had a chance to tie it, had a good look and couldn't knock it down. Pat Cottonen, whatever his name is. Anyway, he had a wide open 3, a chance to tie there in the final minute, and he airballed it. So, once again, comes down sometimes to players making plays, and John Collins did, and Capella did, and of course, Trae Young was magnificent last night. And the Bucks have to adjust defensively against the pick and roll because Trae Young was just carving them up. And the Hawks win game one. Now, we both said the Bucks in six. I guess we can still stick with that, not overreact to one game unless you want to change your prediction. They're going to have to make adjustments on how they're going to defend Trae Young. Trae Young's only 22. He had a career-high 48 points last night. And the Hawks also scored 24 points off his 11 assists. So he got to do anything he wanted. Passing. He threw one off the backboard on purpose for a bucket in a half-court offensive set, which was fantastic. Just, he's like, dude, he's just playing with these guys. He's 22. And remember the draft day trade when Luka was traded for Trae Young and the Mavericks had Trae Young's rights and the Hawks had Luka's? And then there was a draft pick that was thrown into that. And Cam Reddish ended up being that draft pick. Now, he's hurt and he's not playing, but he's a very good young player that could be on the rise. Now, Hawks are doing this without DeAndre Hunter, who is a key part of their team. He's been out hurt. Remember him from Virginia, hit a big shot to beat Texas Tech in overtime in the national championship a couple years ago in the NCAA tournament. But Trae Young last night, you know, after year one, it was, well, Luke is the best player, and obviously the Mavericks got the best of the deal, right? And then year two, it was like, well, Trey's getting better, and Luke is still awesome. And then this year, all of a sudden, Trae wasn't even an all-star. And he wasn't even top 15 players in the league on the All-NBA. And all he's doing is taking the Hawks, who weren't supposed to be this good this quick, all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals and up one game to none. And now all of a sudden people are like, well, maybe the Hawks had the better of the trade. Here's a thought. Let it play out a little bit. Let it play out 3 or 4 years and see where we're at, or God forbid 5 or longer. I mean, it's like the whole Wade Davis-Jorge Soler trade. Oh, it was a god-awful trade. And then Soler hits 48 homers. Well, you know, the Royals really got a good trade there. And it can't be both. It can't be both.
Let me let everybody in on a little secret. Trades can work out for both teams.
That's right. There doesn't have to be one that's
bad. I don't think the
bad.
Mavericks are mad that they have Luka Doncic, and the Hawks aren't mad that they have Trae Young. I think it worked out for both of them.
I remember we talked about that trade, and I was like, I think it's good for both. I remember we talked about, like, I don't think you can go wrong with either one of these guys. Yeah. Some people thought Young was too small and was a defensive liability. That was the biggest concern with Trae. And I'll admit, if I had the pick of the two, I would have taken Luka. Although I remember some people that weren't very high on Trae Young, and I remember we were talking about, dude, give him time, he'll be fine. Well, geez, he's ahead of schedule now.
Mm-hmm.
But last night, 48 points, 24 assists off 24 points off his 11 assists. So you can do the math here. Young did something no player in NBA history has ever done in a conference finals game at the age of 22. He scored or assisted on 72 points in game one. That's the most in a conference or division finals game of all time. And he's 22. Mm-hmm. He's 48 points. He's one of only three guys at his age to put up that many points in a playoff game. The others, LeBron and Kobe. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good company.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing stuff. And he was fantastic last night. And the Bucks, I thought, quite honestly, let him be fantastic. They're going to have to make some changes. And I think they will. Game three of the Western Conference Finals is tonight. It's Phoenix and the Clippers. Kawhi Leonard is out. Based on all indications, Chris Paul is going to play. And I'm going to tell you right now, here's my prediction. I told my son this yesterday. I know it makes absolutely no sense, but I'm going to tell you how it might make sense. The Clippers will win tonight. The Clippers will win game three tonight. Here's why I say that. Many reasons. I could be dead wrong. Phoenix might blow them out, and I'll be okay with that because I'm cheering for the Suns to win the series. Mm-hmm. I think the Suns are the better team. I thought the Suns would win the series, and I'm not going to lie to you. When Paul George was at the line the other night, I was actually hoping he'd make them because I thought Clippers win the series, win the game, it's going to be a really good, awesome series. Mm-hmm. But the Suns win game two. Now, all of a sudden, they're in the driver's seat. Of course, the Clippers have been down 0-2. The first two series come back and won. Phoenix, I think, is better than the Mavericks, and maybe they're better than the Jazz. I mean, Jazz are the best record in the Western Conference. So this is automatic, right? Phoenix is going to win tonight. It's automatic. Phoenix is up 2-0. The Clippers had a chance to win. Paul George will be in the doldrums. He missed two free throws, even though he was great leading up to that point in the fourth quarter to get him in that spot. They're not going to recover from the slam dunk, the valley oop, as DeAndre Ayton calls it, not the alley oop, the valley oop, which I thought was creative. The Clippers aren't going to be able to respond. They're not going to be able to bounce back. That's just too hard of a loss to have when you lose with 9/10 of a second on the clock and give an alley-oop for a dunk and your star player missed two free throws. And Phoenix now gets Chris Paul back and Cameron Payne's playing great and Devin Booker's going to have a much better game three because he struggled in game two and so forth and so on, right? So it's just automatic. Phoenix is going to win. I mean, the easy prediction would be, well, Phoenix didn't even play well and they won game two. Well, they'll win game three. I'm going to tell you the Clippers, I think, win tonight. I see this a lot. Teams get up 2-0. You think, all right, they're going to dominate, maybe get a sweep. And Phoenix did do that against the Nuggets. And I remember saying the Nuggets were going to win game three, and I was wrong. I'll give you two more reasons why I think the Clippers are going to win tonight. I'm going to base it on percentages. I'm a play-the-odds type of guy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play the percentages here. The Suns have won 9 in a row. They're due to lose one. And the Clippers have their season on the line tonight. They will come out with reckless abandon. Maybe not reckless abandon, but they're going to play as hard as they ever do. And Phoenix is going to know that they have leeway. And it's natural to have a bit of a letdown. Now, Chris Paul could give him a shot in the arm. Chris Paul also could be very rusty. He hasn't played since he scored 37 in the closeout game against the Nuggets. So it sounds weird to say, well, Phoenix is going to lose tonight when you add Chris Paul and Kawhi Leonard's out. And the Clippers are coming off just a horrendous way to lose a game. And that very well might happen. The Clippers may roll over tonight and lose by 30. I don't see it happening at all. But the one more reason I'll give you, I don't think the NBA wants to see another sweep. They definitely don't want to see the LA market knocked out that quickly. And I'm not saying that the NBA is rigged, but I will say that a few calls may go the Clippers' way tonight just to make things a little bit more interesting. And I think that happens in lots of games. It's just that sometimes the other team is good enough to overcome a couple of calls that might be slanted in one team's favor. I think the Clippers win tonight. I am happy to be wrong about it, but I personally like to see a great series. I don't know if I really like sweeps as much. Now, if I'm a Royals fan, I love the sweep of the Orioles. I remember that, or the Angels and the Orioles. I love those sweeps. I did love that. I'm not a diehard Suns fan, but I really like how they play. I've always liked the Suns over the years. I remember Kevin Johnson and Barkley and Dan Marley and all that. And the only time I cheered against Phoenix, I think, was when they played the Bulls in the championship when Jordan and them beat them. But I'm going to take the Clippers tonight, and then probably tomorrow talk about how we should have seen that the Clippers are going to roll over and Phoenix is going to be great and Phoenix is unstoppable and so forth and so on. And think about this for a second. Atlanta's up 1-0. They're going to play game two tomorrow night in Milwaukee. We are on pace right now for an Atlanta Hawks Phoenix Suns NBA Finals. Trae Young versus Chris Paul, old versus young, and yet both teams are very young, Phoenix and Atlanta. And I've heard people say, well, you know, NBA, they're NBA haters because they just hate on the NBA all the time. The NBA has never been in a better place, in my opinion. And here's why. All these young stars, Giannis is young, Trey is young, Devin Booker. I mean, the Clippers don't really have a young star, but they got George and Kawhi. They're not out of their prime. And you got some younger guys, you know, Ayton, of course, for Phoenix. And Mikal Bridges is a good player. Cam Johnson could start for a lot of teams, comes off the bench. And I'm sitting here going, and I know you're going to agree with me on this. And I know because you've told us over the years, you're so sick of seeing the same matchup. You're sick of seeing the Patriots and the Steelers there for a while. You're sick of seeing Golden State and Cleveland every year in the finals. And I'll tell you this. Without LeBron, they went out in the first round. The playoffs have been just as exciting with or without LeBron.
Absolutely.
And that's why I think this league is in a great place, because they've got guys that carry the torch. We're seeing Trae Young go off for 48. Durant still playing well. Irving when he's healthy. We got Harden. I've gave you some already. You know, Donovan Mitchell's had some huge games. Paul George has had huge games. Kawhi Leonard. I mean, there's so many. Giannis, Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton's had a huge game. There's so many young guys that are making plays and having great games in the NBA playoffs, and they are the future. And it is Jason Tatum's another one, even though the Boston went out the first round, that's a young guy that could really do some great things. So when I'm looking at the NBA right now, I'm saying this is absolutely refreshing. This is what the NBA needed. They needed the Lakers to be out. They needed LeBron to be out. Mm-hmm. And they needed Steph Curry and the Warriors to be out. Because LeBron's been there every year but one year, the last 10 years, I think, of the NBA Finals. And the Warriors, there was no NBA Finals in 11 years without Steph Curry or LeBron James. And I have nothing against LeBron James and nothing against Steph Curry. But I like to see something different. I know you do. And we are guaranteed to have something different. And the crazy thing is, it could be the Hawks and the Suns, two of the youngest teams in the NBA, playing for a championship.
Yeah, absolutely. I complain about that all the time. I think we're not in the minority there. I think the only people that like that are if you're a fan of one of those teams, right? Like,
reason.
I love seeing the Warriors go to the finals 4 years in a row because I'm a Warriors fan.
Right.
And it's the same thing with anything. Like, if the Chiefs would continue to just keep going to the Super Bowl here,
we
love
wouldn't
to see it because we're Chiefs fans,
right?
Now, everybody else in the country's like, I'm tired of the Chiefs
making
the Super Bowl.
That's right.
So that's just, I think, innate in everybody that if they're not a fan of that team, they get tired of seeing that team winning all the time and playing the same team in the finals. Like, that's another thing is, like, just give me some different team.
Combination.
Give me, like, somebody other than LeBron against the Warriors, or other than the Cavs against the Warriors, or whatever it is.
We got the Heat and the Lakers, but that was weird because of the bubble.
Yeah, and that was just – that whole thing was just different. But, I love this.
I think it's awesome.
The fact that you can see these guys and actually see who they are. Devin Booker's been outstanding for a while.
He has.
But he's shining now because his team is good.
On a national stage.
And he's on the national stage. He's in the Western Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. And he's living up to the hype, obviously.
Right.
And, it's just nice to see different blood in there.
Absolutely.
And I'm enjoying all of it.
I love it. And the games have been very close, not very many blowouts. And another great game last night between the Bucks and the Hawks. And the Hawks win 116-113. Suns, Clippers game 3 tonight in L.A. Clippers trying to...
I'm picking the Suns tonight, by the way.
You're picking the Suns to go up 3-0.
I think they'll lose game 4 to the Clippers.
Okay. Okay. That's fine. Sounds fine to me. Hockey last night, terrific game 6.
Kept it away from Bevilier. Now Bailey over for the Islanders.
Defending Stanley Cup champion Lightning had a chance to finish off the Islanders. Could not last night. Islanders with a game winner in overtime 3-2. Series tied 3-3. Game 7 on NBC Sports Network Friday night. Can't even get on NBC for a Game 7 of a conference final. Unbelievable. Islanders Lightning Game 7 winner take on Tampa Bay. And tonight, Montreal has a chance at home with no fans to take down the Golden Knights of Las Vegas. They lead 3-2. That one's at 7 o'clock tonight on your home for hockey, USA Television. All right, back to the NBA for a moment before we get to Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffaloes. The Team USA's 12-man Olympic roster is set. Bam Adebayo, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Jeremy Grant, Draymond Green, Drew Holiday, Zach LaVine, Damian Lillard, and come on, computer, you're really starting to upset me here. And I can't pull up the last three because it won't scroll down for me. Had it all pulled up, and now things tend to stop. And yes, it's still not allowing me to do it. Very frustrating when technology fails you, right? Let me refresh the screen and see if it'll work now. There we go. Kevin Love, Chris Middleton, Jason Tatum. And I've heard a lot of people upset. I wouldn't say a lot of people are upset, but some people disappointed, I guess would be the better word. LeBron's not playing in it. Anthony Davis isn't playing in it. Jimmy Butler isn't playing in it. Steph Curry isn't playing in it. Donovan Mitchell, Chris Paul, James Harden. And to me, this is very simple. And if there's ever a year that I understand players not playing in the Olympics, it's this year. You had a short offseason between the bubble and the NBA season. All these guys, LeBron, Anthony Davis, Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry, Donovan Mitchell, and Chris Paul, along with James Harden and Kyle Lowry, all those guys that turned it down all had significant injuries this year.
Yeah, Harden was ready to play, but he had to back out because of his injury.
Because of his injury,
yeah.
Right. And by the way, a lot of young, I like the youth on this team. Think about this. You want to sit here and complain about, if you want to complain about the guys that aren't on this team, look at who's on the team. Mm-hmm. You've got Adebayo, who's a very good defender. You need different guys to fit. You don't need 12, 30-point scorers on a team. Bradley Beal, outstanding. Devin Booker, young and awesome. Kevin Durant's going to be the leader of this team. Terrific. Jeremy Grant is a kid that's really improved, and he's a role player. He'll do whatever you need to. Draymond Green does the dirty work. That's a great guy to have on the Olympic team unless it gets ejected or, you know, kicks a guy in somewhere he shouldn't. You know, like Barkley was 10 capable of doing back in the Dream Team years. Jrue Holiday is an outstanding team player. Zach LaVine, outstanding talent. Damian Lillard, we know what he can do. Kevin Love, I think he'll be a great role player. Chris Middleton, I think he'll be a great role player. And Tatum's a stud. So without all these other guys, it just goes to show you again, the NBA is in good hands, and I think we'll be just fine in the Olympics. And Greg Popovich is a coach. I think we'll be just fine. Mm-hmm. So I like it.
It's a group that Pop can work with, too.
Absolutely. All youth there, along with tons of talent and some experience. Durant and Lillard, to me, could be two of the leaders of that team.